And Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. Judas procured a band of soldiers and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They came complete with torches, lanterns, and weapons to arrest Jesus. But when they acknowledge the man thereafter, they get more than they bargained for. All the Lord does is announce his mighty name, and this armed mob draws back and falls to the ground. Just one powerful word repels God's captors. "I am," says Jesus. This divine acknowledgement, spoken at the burning bush and now here in the garden of his arrest, overwhelms the enemy. They fall at the word of God before they are permitted to arrest the Son of God. Then in verse 14, we're reminded of what Caiaphas had advised the Jews. He had said, "It would be expedient that one man should die for the people." By itself, this is a true statement. The wicked high priest cannot escape the power of the Holy Spirit to produce even in him an utterance that is true. It is expedient for one man to die, not just for the Jews, but the entire world. Little did Caiaphas know, when advising his people to dispatch Jesus, he was unconsciously prophesying the word of God. He wants Jesus dead, but it's a desire that fits nicely with God's plan of redemption fulfilled in the death of Jesus. Even through the enemy, God is at work to accomplish his will and purpose. Everything is going as planned. Pilate, too, expresses a divine truth as Jesus is in the midst of his crucifixion. "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Thus says the inscription on the cross. The chief priests contest this truth, only for Pilate to retort, "What I have written, I have written." These three examples reveal to us the divinity of Jesus as God's own Son. He is in control throughout this glorious narrative. Even his enemies, Caiaphas and Pilate, confess truth about Jesus. It is good for Jesus of Nazareth to die on behalf of the people. And he is the king whose kingdom has no end. He can summon his angels in a moment, and his word silences his enemies. But like a sheep silently led to the slaughter, Jesus willingly follows his captors. The great king and ruler of creation humbles himself to the point of arrest and mockery, beatings, suffering, and ultimately death. He is, as the hymn proclaims, smitten, stricken, and afflicted by the very people he came to save. Twisted thorns pierce his brow, nails fasten his flesh to the tree, his garments are divided, for his tunic they cast lots. Jesus is divine, but suffers real physical pain and truly dies on the cross. Therefore, the torment Jesus suffers is not foisted upon him against his will, but it is according to his will. Out of willing obedience to his Father, he drinks the cup that has been given to him. We call this Friday Good Friday. And the understanding of why we call this day good can be seen in the treatment of the criminal Barabbas. Barabbas is released for Christ to die. The insurrectionist, rebel, murderer, and thief is exonerated for the man in whom even Pilate finds no guilt. Another true statement comes from the Roman governor when he tells the Jews, "I find no guilt in him." Christ is innocent. There is no guilt in the perfect, obedient Son of God. The sinless Lamb dies in the place of the guilty insurrectionist. It is the great exchange. The innocent for the guilty. God for sinful humanity. He who is perfect in every way, obedient and submissive, assumes into his flesh every sin of every person. And when his divine blood exits his wounds, the guilt of our sin is canceled. Christ dies as the guilty sinner before God, guilty only because he bears our sin. The innocent one dies for the sinner. Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, is sacrificed to pay the divine price for sins against God. Jesus didn't have an internet history he needed to erase. He never exploded in wrath at his spouse. Jesus never neglected his neighbor to satisfy his own needs, and he didn't store anger in his heart over a relative who sinned against him but never apologized. He didn't deny the truth of God as Peter did, who denied the very Lord three times before the rooster crowed. Jesus never gossiped and schemed, plotted and conspired behind someone's back. He didn't murder, steal, covet, and ignore the things of God. He didn't neglect the discipline of prayer out of laziness and sloth. He didn't avoid church because he felt like sleeping in on a beautiful Sunday morning. He is innocent of all sin. Innocent. And in perfect obedience, he keeps the entire law of God, doing everything required in the Ten Commandments, as only the Son of God can do. And so it is. Christ is the perfect sacrifice in every way, and he is hoisted upon the cross, bearing the sins of the world, only to hear his own people cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Insults, shame, and mockery are hurled at the Christ as he suffers to pay the price for sin, thus canceling our guilt before our Father in heaven. But it is because of this work we call this day good. At his death, our sins are atoned for, covered by his blood, and there is nothing man can do to either merit this gift or pay God back for what he has done. The crucifixion is a work done out of sheer grace and love, mercy and compassion exceeding the boundaries of our reason and understanding. The Christ of the crucifixion is your God. The words to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," are the words of Jesus to his church. Behold the Son as he hangs and dies for your justification. Behold the Christ, the innocent one who willingly suspends himself on the cross, lifted up for the world to see and believe. Behold Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin, your guilt, and your transgressions against God. When we consider all of this, we do find God's love, mercy, and compassion shining in the very death of his only begotten Son, who before dying says those words, "It is finished." The plan of redemption that involved drinking in the cup of God's wrath is finished. For you, that means salvation is a done deal. It has been accomplished for you and is received by faith. The worries and struggles that plague us, the guilt that consumes us, the horror of our sin that confronts us, have all been dealt with by Jesus on Good Friday. He has paid for you and bought you for his kingdom that is not of this world, and he did it while we were still enemies with God, dead in trespasses. This is his work, finished, a work finished to redeem sinners, even those who say, "We have no king but Caesar." Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.